Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margo.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. We're very excited to talk to you guys today. This is Margo, and on the line we have Jennifer.
Hello.
And we have Kristen.
Hi, guys.
And we're very excited because today's episode, we are talking to the editor-in-chief of Shape magazine, Elizabeth Goodman Artis. And we're real psyched to talk to her. And we had a really interesting conversation offline about media and body image and stuff like that. So this is like the perfect day to record this segment because we're talking to the editor-in-chief of Shape magazine. So I wanted to ask you guys, what were some of your favorite magazines when you were growing up?
Oh, man. I used to read Self and Sassy.
Oh, yes.
You guys remember Sassy? Oh, my gosh.
This was the best.
Yeah. And 17. I think I read 17 when I was, like, 10, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And does Teen Beat count? I read a lot of Teen Beat. I
cut out a lot. Hell yes.
I didn't read Teen Beat. I cut a lot of pictures out of Teen Beat.
What about you, Kristen?
Pretty much a lot of the same. I remember my mom wasn't really big on buying me like Teen Beat or Tiger Beat. So like some of my friends would bring them to school and I could read them. So I had that. And for the record, did you guys know that Tiger Beat has like, there's a website. I was just looking and,
shut up, really?
Yeah,
it's really?
I know.
to end this call so that I can go check out.
yeah,
let's wrap this. Quickly do this episode. Well, I'm gonna look that up.
So yeah, all of those. 17 was huge for me, and then YM was big.
Oh, YM, yeah.
And
I worked on YM magazine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was there when they folded. It was the saddest day ever. Like my teenage self, my adult self cried, of course, because I lost a job, but my teenage self cried because I loved that magazine growing up.
And it's just like such, like once I thought like I was like too old for 17, like YM was the thing. I mean, I like my soul tied that. Oh my gosh. It's just like you just transported me back to being a preteen again. That was incredible.
I do what I do.
I like want to bra shopping, pick out the next razor I'm going to shave my legs with. Like, yeah. Very insane.
Do you guys remember how racy it seemed to read Cosmo back before we were supposed to know any of that stuff? I learned a lot from Cosmo, and I learned a lot of things that I don't think were probably terribly accurate.
I probably can say from experience they're not totally.
There's lots of crazy stuff. So I was saying to you guys offline that I was at an antique store recently shopping with a friend, and they had a magazine rack, all these, you know, Life magazines and stuff like that. And of course, my attention quickly went to the People magazines from like the 70s and 80s because I saw Linda Carter on the cover. I love Wonder Woman and all these other Dynasty, Falcon Crest. Like it was just crazy to look at. And I was telling you guys off the air. When you flip through the magazines, every time they interviewed an actress, they mentioned her age, of course, but they also mentioned her height and her weight inside the interview.
That is like, so weird.
It really felt strange after a while. It felt very reductive, and I felt bad for the actress. And I probably read those when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s. Like, and that was like a thing in my head, like, how tall am I and how much am I supposed to weigh? Well, how much does this person weigh? Because I'm 5'7". Every time I read about somebody 5'7", I'm always curious, how much do they weigh? And I think it's because that was constantly being told to me through the media. It was nuts.
I mean, like, it's almost hard. We talk about the comparison trap. You know, mm-hmm. like how it's easy to compare yourself to other people and to kind of base your value and your self-worth based on anyone else around you. But gosh, like talk about the comparison trap just being like right there, like all the time as your point of reference. Like, well, so-and-so is this and this isn't.
Yeah.
So clearly we should be the same size or I'm not valued. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. It was, I remember being really young and reading that stuff. And then my grandmother was totally, my grandmother, not a super stylish lady, but she loved Vogue.
Oh yeah.
And glamour. And I, the Vogue magazines in the '80s with the supermodels like Paulina.
Oh yeah.
And Kim Lexus. And stuff like that. Like that to me, like all that 80s stuff was like so glamorous to me. Those, that big hair and the shoulder pads and the lace, you know, dresses with like big shoulders with them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. But do you guys remember, like, it's still this way. We were talking about fitness models and stuff like that. Like models were so thin, you know, back then.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
And
the high fashion models still are.
Yes. Yeah, the high fashion, you know, models still are. Yeah, yeah. We see every once in a while, because I'm trashy. I read the Daily Mail online. They feature Gigi Hadid, and they always talk about women's bodies in the Daily Mail. It's the worst. But they always say, look at her sporty, you know, toned figure, and it's like, toned? This is always a word that drives me crazy. I'm like, she's very thin. I mean, she's a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always think of sporty, like, well, somebody who has defined shoulders and defined leg muscles, quads and stuff like that. So it's just kind of interesting to me. And did you think you were negatively influenced by magazines, by features or photos? Cause I feel like I was.
Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's so hard because it's like when you're a teenager, especially when you're a teenager, there's just so much going on with your body that just feels weird. And I think all you want to do is just not feel weird, you know?
Mm-hmm. Out of place.
Yeah. And you're like, I feel weird. I look at things. I don't look like that. My hair doesn't look like that. My wardrobe doesn't look like that. My makeup doesn't look like that. My body sure as hell doesn't look like that, you know? And I think it's just difficult because you always just feel like you should be something other than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's heightened when you're a teenager, but I think it just continues on. And I know I, in a number of ways, didn't feel like I was attractive or right. You know, it's funny because you look back too. You know, I always felt like I needed to be smaller. I needed to be mm-hmm. thinner. Always. I always needed to be thinner, of course. And I look back on it now and I see pictures of myself from when I was, you know, in high school and I was playing sports and stuff. And I'm like, I look really good, you know.
I should thank you. I know, same here.
You know, like I wish I would have appreciated, you know, kind of what I had then. I mean, I feel great about myself now, but still, you know, it's, gosh, that's different.
I sometimes think about like, what would I say to 16-year-old Margot if I could? Yeah. And I think that just the one thing I was like, you're fine.
Like you're, yeah.
Don't worry about it. You know,
yeah.
Work
Find
on other
your
things.
Validation from a better place than a magazine. Like sure, get tips on how to do your hair or whatever, but like get your inner validation from a deeper place.
Absolutely.
For sure.
That's what I felt. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was just so hard on myself back then. And I think it continued into my 20s. And I think it's getting much, much better. I was, you know, we're talking to Elizabeth today and she has Jillian on her cover from The Biggest Loser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just looks incredible. She's strong. She's sexy. She's her own person. And they only have like really strong women on their covers now. And I feel like more and more women in the media, actresses and stuff are kind of really getting tougher and stronger in their roles. And that's more of what we're seeing in the media. I think, what do you guys think?
I like to think we're going in that direction. Because that's always been a big, or it always was a big struggle for me, I should say, like, because I was athletic and muscular and I never felt like I was seeing those women in mainstream media. In fact, I actually wrote a letter to one of the magazines that we mentioned. I don't remember which one, asking if there were things that I could do to decrease my muscle mass because I didn't look like other girls. And, they wrote me back and it was, from what I recall, the letter back to me was kind of a, you know, you should embrace who you are and all of that, which is great, but I didn't want to hear it at the time.
Oh my God. That's amazing. You heard back. Jen was dropped from the call, but I'm going to keep talking to you because that's really interesting to me. Did they write you back? Was it an actual letter? Or was it an email?
Yeah. This was before email. But yeah, they wrote an actual letter back to me on it. So, you know, that was clearly a big for me. And like you, I was tall growing up. So I just felt weird and different. And I guess seeing some of the strong women role models out there now, I think is so important. But I also think that there are so many women who are, you know, they're just all different body types out there. And a lot of the really, really thin models are still glamorized so very much.
Right.
I don't know. I think there are still a lot of conflicting images out there. And I think it's important for, you know, for people like us and really everyone to just say, being who you are, because some people are naturally quite thin. Some people are naturally quite curvy. Many of us mm-hmm. fall somewhere in between. Like, you've got to know, like, it's not all being represented equally, and it never will be. But that doesn't make you less than in any way.
Totally. Jen, are you there?
I am. Sorry, I fell off.
You were not talking
like
a little bit.
Being great.
You were talking about deep stuff, so, but you'll have to listen to this episode to catch it.
That's
so.
How we get
I know. Well, like, wait, I got the tail end of that, and that sounded amazing. Especially because, like, my big soapbox thing that I think Kristen just probably touched on a little bit was just like, you know, they always say, like, strong is the new skinny, or this is the new skinny, or whatever. And I'm like,
right.
Be you. Strong's awesome. If you're naturally skinny, that's awesome. Like, just be you. Feel good.
I totally agree. So this was great.
I'll just put that out there. So I think it's cool that they like
Jillian Michaels. Oh,
yeah. Like, I mean, and not just because she's like obviously fit and like an awesome businesswoman, which I admire, but that, I mean, she clearly is who she is and speaks her mind, whether or not you agree with her on everything. Cause I think she's maybe it's a little polarizing, but, she does like she will cuss and she will, I mean, say she is who she is. That's awesome.
And that's what I like about her, you know? Yeah, I think she's great. Guys, our next episode, our next interview, it's going to be Elizabeth Goodman Artist. That's coming up right now. You and I are taping that this week or next week, right? We're going to tape that. And so, but anyway, in a time capsule, this is what's happening. We're taping this now, and right away, you're going to hear this amazing interview with Elizabeth Goodman Artist. Thank you guys so much. Here's the interview, and bye. Hi, everyone. So today our celebrity interview is with the editor-in-chief of Shape Magazine. Her name is Elizabeth Goodman Artist, and she is on the line. She's a very busy lady, but she's on the line with us today. So hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. Hello. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. So on the line today, we have Jen.
Hello.
Hi, Jen.
And we have Kristen.
Hey, guys. Kristen. Hi.
So we're all really excited to meet you and talk to you. So I guess my first question is, congratulations, Shape Magazine is celebrating its 35th anniversary with this issue. What is the secret for its longevity?
Well, I think that the secret for our longevity is the readers, is our amazing audience. So with our July-August issue, we turned 35, as you just said, and we are so proud that after 3 decades, more than 43 million women are still coming to us for as their go-to source for lifestyle, health, fitness, and nutrition inspiration. And we make sure that we give them the information they want every issue. We keep it exciting. We keep it visually beautiful to keep them coming back for more.
That's awesome. I think that's really impressive, especially in the magazine industry currently. Is there one issue that you've worked on that like really stands out to you that you really remember and are super proud of?
That is a great question. That's an interesting question for an editor-in-chief. I have been the editor of Shape for 2 years now, and so it kind of changes as you go along in the job. There's always your first issue and your first letter.
Right.
So my very first issue that was I had been I was the executive editor before I was the editor-in-chief, and so there was a little bit of a transitional time where I was just internally running the show, and you know, so it wasn't quite my job yet, but when I officially had the job and the letter was for me, that was a big moment. And that was the December 2014 issue, and Julianne Hough was on the cover. She's actually our, I think this is still a secret, well, it won't be in a week or so, but she's our September cover as well, September 2016.
Oh, cool. Ooh, excellent.
So, yes. And so, but that was my first issue, and that was my moment to really put my point of view and my voice in terms of the actual editor's letter. I was able to sort of broadcast to the readership who I am and what I want for this magazine. So that's always going to have a special place in my heart. But I think that one of my favorite issues, I love them all. I mean, they're my babies, every single one of them. But I'm particularly fond of the July-August issue. It's a milestone issue. It's one of my favorite Jillian covers.
And, hello.
I know. She's been, she's a six-time Shape cover girl. I love the inside story. When we were conceptualizing it, we were sitting around in a conference room, and I said, you know, I've loved what we've done in the past, but I said, I really want Jillian being Jillian. I want Jillian throwing around a tire. I want Jillian, like, with a sledgehammer in her hand. Jillian is the embodiment of pure, sort of raw female strength in my mind, and I love that about her. And I really wanted the images to capture that. I didn't want to gussy her up and sort of make her something that she's not. I wanted the essence of her to come through, and I feel like we really achieved that. My creative director, Joe Herron, he's amazing. He got it, and he had the sort of the perfect swag, or not swag, swipe. What do we say, swipe? It means just a tear sheet from another magazine of like a strong guy in front of an oil cloth. And I said, that's exactly what I want this to look like. So we really captured her. I think the cover image is great. She looks beautiful. She looks strong. I love the clothes she's wearing on the cover too. It has that kind of chic athleisure cutting edge style, but that makes sense for her and her body. And it was just one of those times where everything came together. It's really one of my favorites.
Awesome. We're such big Jillian fans. She's such a badass.
Yes. Yes. She is such
Seriously.
A badass.
Now, so you guys cover basically every type of workout, every type of exercise. Now, based on that, is there a workout that you are dying to try that you haven't had an opportunity to try yet?
Yes, actually, I was just talking to my fitness director about this morning. I really want to try SLT, strength and lengthen and tone. So I used to do Pilates regularly with the equipment, like the reformer and all of the, not just mat Pilates. I was pretty dedicated to Pilates. And the reason that I got into it was really because my back was out of whack, and I wanted an exercise modality that would help strengthen my core, and it worked. I haven't had the back spasms. This was like 10 years ago that I was experiencing at the time. And I've since moved on to other things. I do CrossFit twice a week, so I lift a lot of weights. I'm a big believer in strength training, especially as you get older. It's essential for bone strength and metabolism and you know, all sorts of other things. But I love the idea of strength and lengthen and tone because it's like power Pilates. So I it's the same kind of core building, strengthening workout, but with a little more energy. So it gets your heart rate up, so you burn more calories. It's supposedly really hard, so I'm trying to schedule an appointment to do it very soon. So that's
very
my next,
cool.
That's my next thing. And I was also telling somebody earlier today that my new thing for the summer is swimming. I know that sounds really obvious and boring, but I wanted to get back to a really kind of basic cardio workout. I don't have the best knees, so I don't run. And I was like, what can I do? And it dawned on me, swimming, duh. So I've gotten really into swimming again, and it's really hard. I forgot how hard it is. I mean,
it's so hard.
It's like a really hard cardio workout. And so I've been doing it on Fridays. We have summer Fridays, and there's an Equinox nearby that has a pool. And so it's like my summer activity. I don't know if I'll keep it up in the fall, and it's hard with hair, dealing with, you know, drying your hair afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
That's great. So I've looked at your LinkedIn page, and you are just so scarily exceptional, all the experience that you've had. And I think you started at Glamour magazine.
I did.
I believe.
I did.
So over the years, so you've been in the magazine industry for a while now. Yes. So has it changed? How has it changed over the years since you first entered this world?
Well, digital. Yes. I mean, that's like the dividing line, literally. But I think the big change is that when I first started in magazines, I was at Glamour magazine. I started right after college. I was actually going to go into TV, but I decided that might be too stressful, like TV news. Not that I mind stress, but I wasn't sure if I had the stamina to do that kind of like intensive day after day excitement of TV, of broadcast TV. So I ended up with a job at Glamour. Back then, well, again, it was like pre-digital. We barely had, we had computers, but we didn't have Windows. We used some program called Zyrite.
Oh my gosh.
I know. We still had electronic typewriters in the office for typing out letters. So aside from like technology, you know, I think it was 2 years before I even wrote or researched anything. Everything was very compartmentalized, and editorial assistants sort of stayed in their place. It was more of a case system, I feel like. And now we use everybody. I mean, there's nobody, like, if our editorial assistants, they write, they hit the ground writing. they, you know, everybody does everything right away. It's not as sort of layered and, you know, you have to prove yourself for 2 years and then you move on to the next step. So I think that's a big change. I mean, you know, at the time too, the editor-in-chief, her name was Ruth Whitney, a legendary editor. I was at the magazine for 6 years. I think I met her once. But now everybody comes into my office. I have a saying, like, my door is always open unless it's not. And I literally mean that. Like, if my door's shut, it means I'm on the phone with, like, you guys or my boss or something important. And if it's open, walk in. It's like I'm not in an ivory tower.
So let's talk about photoshopping for a second. I know that, you know, photoshopping is obviously something that's, like, used, you know, across the board. And it's even something like, you know, we use stock art here on Fit Bottom mm-hmm. Girls, and we know that mm-hmm. some of that is Photoshop. So, I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. like, little blemishes and things here and there, it's obvious that it's used and not that big of a deal. But there have been some examples, you know, obviously, that are, like, so over the top of photoshopping. Do you have a policy with photoshopping, its shape? Or,
yeah, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
We color correct, we don't Photoshop.
Awesome.
Color correcting is different. I don't change body shapes. I don't, you know, it's more like, okay, there's a weird wrinkle in the bathing suit.
Right.
Okay, that just looks odd to the naked eye. We'll smooth out that wrinkle, but we don't change people's bodies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's important for people to hear, you know, because I think everyone just kind of assumes like everything is hyper photoshopped when.
No. We choose our cover subjects are healthy and fit and their bodies reflect that. But everybody, there's a lot of different body shapes. I mean, look at our Khloe Kardashian cover, our May cover. Mm-hmm. She's in amazing shape. I think she looked terrific. So there was no need to do anything to her body. So no, I mean, that's kind of my blanket statement. We color correct, we don't Photoshop.
That's awesome. Fit Bottoms come in all shapes and sizes. Have you seen photoshopping in your career kind of just change and evolve to a more positive body image place that obviously you're promoting with shape?
Well, I think the big thing is the internet. I think that with the internet, there were celebrities and, you know, social media, they said, you know what, this image is not what this does not reflect me. And so I think there's an awareness. I think there's just more information. There's more opportunities for people to wave their hand and say, this isn't cool. I don't accept that. We just didn't have that before the internet. I mean, that's really the difference.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, as someone who is as busy and on the go and in demand as you are, I know you're already squeezing your workouts in where you can. But mm-hmm. what about post-workout snacks? Do you have a favorite?
Okay, well, actually, the thing with me is I always schedule workouts before meals. So I don't really, like, yeah, I always make sure that, you know, I work out either before breakfast and then just eat a proper breakfast. I work out before lunch and eat a proper lunch, or work out before dinner and eat a proper dinner. So, for example, I'll tell you what I did last night. I ducked out of the office at 5:45 and I went to a 6 o'clock hot yoga class. And so I just made sure that my husband had dinner waiting when I got home. He's good that way. So I got home and I had a turkey burger, a piece of corn, and some zucchini and chocolate and 3 glasses of red wine.
That sounds like,
oh my God,
tonight.
And that's like an average night for me.
Right. So, I mean, I work, you know, but I also make sure I try not to eat a lot of extra stuff during the day. So I kind of can, you know, I like to, for me personally, I think there's a lot of great workout, pre and post workout snacks out there. It just depends on your lifestyle. That's what works for me. I don't like to add in lots of extra things because I really like, I like my red wine, and that's important mm-hmm. to me. And so, you know, I it was over the course of a couple of hours, so, you know, I went to bed sober, but that's what matters to me, you know, and so I don't care about eating, you know, ice cream after, like, I don't care about, like, sweet snacks. That's just not what I crave. And so, you know, I just really try to schedule it around meals. But if I can't do that, sometimes, like, I'm kind of the queen of the cheese stick if I need to eat something before I work out. I'm more of like a protein salty person than I am a sweet person.
Cool.
And I'm a big believer in protein. I think protein is kind of key. And I believe in all macronutrients, but protein builds muscle and it's satiating. So, and it works for my body. Everybody's different.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, totally. I totally agree with you, by the way. I'm a total protein freak.
Yeah.
So tell us all about your Shape Body Confidence campaign. What's this all about?
Okay. So our Love My Shape campaign. So we basically, our goal was to really spread the message of body positivity and inspire women to embrace and champion their unique physiques. And that's the key thing here, is their unique physiques. Everybody's different. Everybody's body responds differently to exercise and diet, and we're all made of different stuff and we're built differently. And so what I want women to do is embrace who they are and what they're capable of. But the thing here, the key, is that when you feel good about yourself, you take care of yourself, and that's what shape is all about. So it doesn't negate the need to have body goals, but those are very individual goals. But what I want is to take the negative conversation out of it entirely. I mean, I don't even want to go down the road of body shaming, because that is so totally unacceptable in any mm-hmm. way, shape, or form, personally or directed at you. I mean, like, that needs to just go away and entirely. Your body is your business. Seriously, you are the boss of your body. And in fact, that's mm-hmm. our hashtag, boss of your body. And that's mm-hmm. the message I want to get across. It's really a rallying cry for women to love themselves, take care of themselves, set goals if they need a goal. I mean, you might be in a really good place, and that's fine. And it's not always about striving for never about striving for perfection, but it's never about striving for something unrealistic for you that doesn't fit into your life. If you're not a marathon runner, don't do that, but if you love it, do it. You know, I mean, if you're cool with the last 5 pounds, stick with the last 5 pounds. It's all up to you. It's an individual choice and journey, so to speak. So that's the key DNA of this campaign. But there's some layers to this campaign, which is, first and foremost, we have a great logo. It's this awesome logo my creative director again designed, and it's on our cover now. It's a little heart-shaped logo that says Love My Shape. And as you know, all magazines have taglines. They're little tiny mouse type taglines that usually are on the spine or in the upper left corner. I felt like there's words on a page that are not designed, and I wanted to design them and really have this message stand out on every single cover. So you'll always see the Love My Shape logo on the cover and throughout on the website, in the magazine. We've created tons of content online around body positivity and setting personal goals and feeling good about yourself and taking the negativity out of the conversation. So that's a big part of it. And then we've also partnered with the Movement Foundation. So the Movement Foundation, they're based in San Francisco, and they're a nonprofit community-powered organization that empower young women to be confident in their bodies by using fitness as a platform for building self-worth and positive body image. So the Movement Foundation's terrific. They do things like they go to schools and talk to young girls about exercise and activity and get them excited about movement, truly excited about movement. And they're also our partner in this event series we're doing now called Body Shop. And so the event series happens twice a year. We just had one in June in LA. We're having another one in October, and it's on October 22nd, and everyone's invited. And so basically what it is a full day where Shape comes to life with classes, with cafes, with some of the food we feature in the magazine. You can buy apparel. It's basically the magazine in loft form, with classes and workouts from body sculpting to bar. And we had Julian Hoff, actually, again, she came to our LA event. And so the next one is in October. And so all proceeds from this benefit the Movement Foundation. So 100% of the proceeds go to them. But it's a really fun event. It had great energy. And if anybody wants to buy tickets, they can go to shapebodyshop.com. So that's another layer of the Love My Shape campaign. And then the other fun thing is that we have every celebrity who's on our cover, or even women in the magazine we feature in various columns, answer the question, I love my shape because. And it's such an important question. That's sort of where this starts personally, is when you answer that question, it sort of opens up a whole world of positivity and self-worth and self-love. So I'm going to answer the question for you.
Awesome.
If you'd like me
awesome.
To. You
I
want
like,
me to
I
answer
like,
the question?
Ask you, if not.
Yes. Yeah, I will answer the question. So I love my shape because it heals really well. So I'm somebody who I broke an ankle really badly like 10 years ago, and my doctor thought I'd limp for the rest of my life. It was a silly injury. I slipped on some ice on some heels, so I like fell off my shoes. But it was a bad injury, but she was amazed at how quickly I healed. And subsequent little bumps in the road, even just a cold, I get over them really quickly. So my body is a good healer, and not until I got older did I really appreciate that about myself. So I want people to answer that question and not just, you know, whatever feels right to them. And really, but ask yourself beyond, like, I love my shape because I love my shoulders, or I love that I can run a half marathon. That's great. I have stamina and power, but, you know, what else do you love about your shape? Your shape can be that's another word for body, yourself, your being. I think that's a question that really spurs a positive point of view.
That's beautiful. And you're basically like, you're like Wolverine or something. Like, you just heal, like, instantaneously.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's, something like that. I mean, it's a little more human than that. But yeah, exactly.
I love it. You were just talking about the Shape Body Shop and then the Shape Body Confidence Campaign. So maybe those are the answers to this question. But I guess in maybe just a couple sentences, as the editor of Shape, you know, you have a lot of power over what young women read and what they value about themselves and other people. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, that's a big question, but
I know, right?
I mean, I know. What I really want is I want my legacy to be one of empowerment and a sense of self-worth. Okay. What I really want is, I don't want to feel my readers to feel like I'm talking at them or telling them what to do or how to feel, but I'm giving them the information in a way that's packaged, that's clear, that is informative, that's easy to digest, and that's beautiful, and that gets them really, really, really excited about healthy living. I mean, when you think about the best magazines, they get you excited about what they're talking about, okay? A really good fashion magazine gets you so excited for back-to-school clothes. Like, think about reading a big fat Vogue or Harper's Bazaar on the beach in August when you were a teenager, and how excited it got you back for back-to-school. Yeah. So that's what I want there to be, excitement. I want every issue to get people excited about healthy living. And it's about scale, too. I mean, it doesn't have to be, not everybody's going to try a really tough HIIT workout. I have that in there because that's our DNA. Exercise, physical fitness is our DNA. But I want people to get just as excited about this new kind of salad that we got from this great chef that uses egg ribbons, and they're like, okay, I'm going to try that on Sunday. So I want to inspire women to feel really good about themselves vis-a-vis the healthy activities, from eating to exercising to even shopping or buying a new sports bra or a pair of jeans that feels good. Like, I want them to feel good in their skin and just to feel a sense of excitement, because you know what? Life is really, this is a cliche, but it's hard. You know, you can't stop all the tough stuff in your life. It's going to happen to everybody, but these are the things that you can take control of, and you can take control of your health, you can take control of your nutrition, and you can have fun with it. And so, you know, the idea of excitement, of fun, but with information, with real solid, well-reported information, I really try to wrap it in this sort of lovely, sexy, fun bow, and that's what I want to do with the magazine.
It's a beautiful magazine, by the way. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
That's why I keep kind of giving a nod to my creative director, because he's a genius, and he has really, in the last 2 years, he has really elevated the visual voice of this magazine. He thinks on, you know, he doesn't just design a page, or, I mean, he really gives it a consistency, and he's constantly tinkering with it. He'll come into my office and he'll just show me some new thing, new doodad, whatever. And it's always amazing and it's always better. And we're like that. We work in tandem really well. I am pushing the editorial concepts and the voice, and he's right next to me with the visuals. And so we're kind of in lockstep, which is really important in this job with an editor in chief and a creative director, because I always say that the funny thing about magazines is, they're run by somebody who was an English major, somebody went to art school, and somebody went to business school.
We all have
different skill sets. I know. But so what can happen is, you know, those skill sets come with different kinds of personalities, and they don't always mesh well, and it shows in the product. And right now I have an amazing publisher, Tim O'Connor. He was at Vogue for like 9 years. He was at InStyle. He really knows the right kind of market for us in terms of our business partners and our advertisers. And so the three of us, like, I feel like we're sort of in lockstep, and that creates a beautiful product.
Now, with all of this going on, do you have any sort of personal mantra that you stick to, whether that's for your workouts or just for your busy get stuff done life?
You know what? Push yourself, but know your limitations. Mm-hmm. You got, a woman's got to know her limitations. Yeah. That's really important. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's always about finding the sweet spot.
So I guess I have one more question for you. Okay, so this is because we know you're short on time, but we wanted to we're going to ask this of everybody, mm-hmm. the last question for mm-hmm. every episode. Mm-hmm. What was the last song you listened to before you did this interview?
Oh, that's a great question.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
This is a safe space.
I'll tell you, it's Visionary by Red Cross.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds
yeah,
very
I like punk rock.
Oh, very cool.
That is excellent. I love
that
it.
That is a great answer.
Thanks.
Rock on.
So thank you so much and keep going. And Shape is a gorgeous, beautiful magazine. I love getting it every month. That's like, I've got to tell you, it is my favorite that I get every month.
That makes me so happy.
Really great job. You do a great job and thank you so much. And we're thrilled to have you on our show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my time talking to you.
Good.
Okay. Take care.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book Versus Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.